Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And you can find that on page 966 in the Church Bibles. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jonathan. Please do keep your Bibles open there. It's on page 966. Let me just begin with a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you that you are our God, that you came down so many years ago as a baby, and now we can recognize you. Help us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may be aware that every year, along with Insight, as a church, along with other churches, we run a Christmas journey in our church, and all the year twos of the borough come through. And at some point, we give them a chance to ask questions about the Christmas story. And this year was the first time we actually had an adult ask us a question. And he asked us a question about the wise men. The wise men. And his response when he heard our answer was that actually he needed to go and read the Bible some more because he didn't know the story well. And so I thought that would be a wonderful way to look at Christmas Day, a good passage to look at. Most times we place the three wise men inside the nativity scene with the angel on top and the three gifts. But that's not quite exactly what the Bible says. These wise men, sometimes called magi, the Bible never tells us that there were three. But it does say that they heard from God in three different ways. They brought three different gifts. And they met three different kinds of people on their journey. So let's begin with this passage, at the end of the passage, with the gifts, because everyone loves gifts. The three different gifts given in verse 11 says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." What strange gifts to bring to a baby. Whenever I think of these gifts, there's a Christian comedian that I follow. He was quoting the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And the line of the song says, a child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold." And the Christian comedian says, "No, give the child a blanket. He's shivering in the cold. Why are you giving him silver and gold? What is the purpose of that?" So why did these wise men bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh instead of blankets and toys and sweets. Well, it has to do with the reason why Jesus came to earth. What his role was to be when he came. And that role was threefold: king, priest, and savior. So firstly, Jesus was given gold because he is a king. Gold has always been a valuable metal. And especially in those days, kings would show their wealth with gold. But most common people would never even see gold in their lives. And so these magi, wanted to give the best that they could, as they understood from verse 2. And this is an important verse, we're going to look at it quite a bit. The one who had been born king of the Jews. You give gold to a king. The second gift they gave was related to the same verse. We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. The second gift was the gift of frankincense. Frankincense is a sweet-smelling incense that was used in worship. It is used to offer your prayers to the one that you're worshiping. During the Christmas journey, Karen, one of the inside staff, would often say to the class that frankincense came in a very small amount. But when you burned it, the smoke filled the entire room. And any children walking into that little Pathfinder room, some of them would just start coughing because there was just this big smell of incense around them. It reminds us that God, who was very big, came down to be very small as a baby to fulfill a very big mission to save the world. And so that's what she would say to the children. But that does remind us that priests used incense all the time in the temples. And so these men were speaking prophetically about Jesus' role as the one who stands alongside us, between us and God, our mediator, Jesus. He came to be our high priest. Just not just a priest, but our high priest, our mediator. He came to speak about God's kingdom and to bring people into that kingdom that he was a kingdom, that he was the king of. And then the final gift was the gift of myrrh. Now, if you're bad at spelling like me, this is like the worst word ever. It's spelled M with a Y for a vowel, followed by two R's and an H. It is a very confusing word. And as confusing as it is to spell, it is actually more confusing to give as a gift to a child. Myrrh is a perfume mostly used for embalming. And embalming means when someone dies, they clean the body with myrrh and then they wrap it up in bandages. The strange gift was given at Jesus' birth. Again, it was a prophetic gift. I don't know how they knew that, but they knew that Jesus' third role was to be our savior. He was going to live a perfect, sinless life, and then he was going to die the death of a criminal. And in so doing, he would substitute our sinfulness for his holiness, his righteousness, so that we can be saved for an eternity without God. That last gift showed us that Jesus would die an important death as our savior. These men were really wise in the gifts, which means to ask, so how did they hear about God? How did they get these gifts so right? How do people hear from God even today? And that leads to our second point, the three different ways that people hear from God. In this passage, there are different types of revelation. So revelation is when God is speaking to us. Three different ways that God reveals himself to us and allows us to know his will and his word. The first mention of this is found in verse 2 again. The wise men said that they saw his star. This is general revelation. General revelation is when we look at nature, the nature that God created, and it tells us about God. When we look at beautiful sunset or a sunrise, when we see a huge mountain range, when we see a few grains of sand underneath a microscope, when we see these things, we know that there must be a creator God. We look at the world around us and we can know that there is no accident of things just falling into place. Creation shouts to us that there has to be a God. These men were watching the stars and suddenly they saw a new star, which caused them to follow another type of revelation. Specific revelation. Specific revelation is when God is speaking to us through his word specifically. After reading whatever books they had, they knew that this star meant that someone had been born who had been king of the Jews. But they did not have enough revelation. Whatever books they had only told them that the star meant the Messiah had come. And so they traveled to Jerusalem, because obviously that is where the king would be born, the capital city, to look for him and meet the king. And that is where Herod gets involved, from verses 4 to 6. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." The chief priests and the teachers of the law had the correct books. They studied God's word. And in their studies, they knew where the Messiah would be born. But they had missed the moment. They had missed the timing of God's plan. They knew the expected outcome was to go look in Bethlehem, but they missed the star. General revelation tells us there is a God. Specific revelation tells us who God is and how we can worship him and know him. But there is one final form of revelation, and that is personal revelation. And this happens in verse 12. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. God speaks directly to them and warns them about Herod in a dream. This is the best form of revelation, as it is God calling us directly to action. God speaks to each of us in different ways. We see in Luke chapter 2, which is often read at this time, that the angels speak directly to people. We see in Acts how the Holy Spirit speaks to apostles and all the crowds around them, and he confirms God's word. And we see in our own lives where we know that Jesus has come and the Holy Spirit has changed us from death to life. God speaks to us in all these various ways. And whether through general, specific, or personal revelation, we can know that he is alive and he is able to save us. Which leaves us looking at the people of the passage. There are three different types of people. And as we look at them, we might just see ourselves as one of those people. The three different people are, in this passage, people that were about 2,000 years ago, but the people haven't changed. The first type we see are those who are against Jesus. It is no surprise that King Herod falls into this category. He hears the news, and it immediately disturbs him, as he knows that should another king, his family line, the royal line, will be dissolved. King Herod is actively against Jesus. If you read a bit further down in this chapter, down to verse 16, Herod actually kills all the boys under 2 years of age in the area to try and remove Jesus from the picture. In our times, there are many people who are actively against the Bible's teachings and Christ himself. They do all that they can to convince people that the Bible is not true, that Christianity is just make-believe. For them, it's not enough that people not believe, but they don't want anybody else to believe. In our passage, the wise men were warned against these people and told to go home another way. Be very cautious of those who actively go against what the Bible says. The second group of people are those who are indifferent to Jesus. And this, for me, is probably some of the saddest people. Some of the saddest and the most surprising. Because as the wise men come to Jerusalem, Herod knows the right people to ask about the Messiah. It's the religious people, the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. The people who know the Bible. What you would expect from these people is when the wise men tell them that the Messiah has been born, is that they would drop everything they have and they'd rush to go with these wise men to meet the Messiah. Someone that they've been waiting for hundreds of years, expecting great things from him. That you would think they'd be moved to worship and wonder at the soon coming Savior. But no, they just look in their books, find the information, and do nothing. Religion has stopped them from seeking the truth. They're not interested in Jesus. Rather, they're interested in showing people that they know that they are holier and wiser than the other people. The difference between religion and the gospel is that religion says, look at me, look how close I am to God. Gospel says, look at Jesus. We can't do anything good. Trust him and his righteousness, not in yourself and your goodness. Indifferent people don't experience Jesus for themselves. They might hear about it. They may even believe the gospel is true, but they don't want to do anything about it. Their own life is too important to have to choose Jesus' life. And so we come to the final type of people, the Magi. These are people who worship Jesus. The wise men were people who came from somewhere to the east. We don't know where, but they're most likely not Jewish people, but rather people who are seeking, people who are looking for the truth. They had received knowledge by general revelation. They had read in specific revelation, and they wanted to know Jesus personally. They came with gold, frankincense, and myrrh to see Jesus. From verse 9 to 11, after they heard the king, they went on the way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Opening their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These Magi, their immediate response was to bow down and worship on meeting Jesus. Their joy was complete as they came to a place of submission and adoration. They had traveled far, they had brought costly gifts, and now they're able to see this baby who become not just the king of the Jews, but the savior of the world. Today, think for yourself. Which of those three people are you? Are you actively against Christ? Do you try and tell people that he's not real? Are you indifferent to him and just don't really care one way or the other? Or are you wanting to worship him with everything you have? Have you heard from God? Can you see him in creation that there must be a God? Have you read in the Bible that this God came as Jesus at Christmas? Have you personally experienced becoming a new creation and being restored to the family of God? And what gifts are you bringing? Is he your king, your priest, and your savior? In the books of Acts, chapter 16, there is a jailer who recognizes his need for salvation. And from verse 30 to 34, it says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Christmas joy, the real Christmas joy, comes from believing in the Lord Jesus, knowing that he is our King, our priest, and our savior, leading us to want to worship him forever. And can I encourage you to do that this day? Spend some time worshiping Jesus in whatever way you can. Let me pray. Father, I do thank you that you are so good, that you sent Jesus to be like us, God with us, Emmanuel. Thank you that Jesus came and he lived a life. He grew up. He did not sin, but he did die. And he transferred his righteousness to us so that we can transfer our sinfulness to him. Help us to live lives that are worthy of you. In Jesus' name, amen.